give you a testimony. I asked her to share with you today. She's going to give you a brief testimony. She ain't going to take up all my preaching time.
Who knows?
Hi,
everybody. Hiya.
Hi.
You had a good time, huh? Thank you for sharing. Okay, I want to give God glory, honor. And thank you, everybody, coming here. And enjoy yourself. I mean, enjoy myself. Yes. Seems like this church started, everybody enjoyed it. I look and say, wow, what God doing, everybody.
Yes.
You know, like,
amen.
I'm so glad we're not begging you, bugging you to come here.
Yes.
You come here for Jesus. So I thank God for that.
Amen.
That's what I want. I don't want to bother people. So first, forgiveness that God did for me is... If I have a pain, I have a hurt, I keep inside, deep inside me, like hiding to ignore it, try to forget it.
Yes.
But something comes up, mention that person's name or whatever, talk to mother, then pain come back.
Yes.
But I told God, I forgive every single person who ever hurt me. I say that person, I gotta forgive.
Yes.
But this year, God showed me is ideal. Maybe I forgive people. That is done. Another issue we have is pain and how we gonna heal that. We don't know. Sometimes I'm ashamed to don't wanna share that what happened to me. I cannot trust anybody to share with it. Anyway, they cannot help me or you. Only Jesus can help you. But I'm a Christian for a long time. I'm actually 45. 45 years there.
But,
that's go too far. Because I'm going to be younger than them. So. Okay. Then I think a lot of people like have a pain different level and... so hard to forgive. Forgiveness is very hard.
Mm-hmm.
First time I forgive person, I struggle because my feeling doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Well, if I forgive that person, that means like a, you know, like a, they did things to me is okay? No, I don't think so.
Yes.
But God told me to forgive. Things I lie is a secret. If I don't forgive that person, God doesn't forgive me. That's a good deal.
Yes.
Because that's ideal. Because feeling is not go away. So I have to forgive. I know I have to forgive. But my feelings are so hard, I don't know what to do. But gosh, and then I say, I forgive person. Lord, I forgive everybody. Then gosh, but I still have a pain when I think about that person.
Yeah.
Why I still have this? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Then in the kitchen, I talk to my husband. The Holy Spirit is to show me what the problem is. I didn't release.
Mm.
I hold that pain and hiding. He want me to release to him your anger, your pain, all what you have inside of me. God said, release to him. So he is our healer, not physical only. He heals your emotion.
Yes.
I thought, I said, I want to obey God to do what he said. I did it, and he said, say the things what they done to you, exactly what they done to you. Step two, how you really felt anger and cry, whatever you felt, to say it. Not to keep it and say it and release to me. But I thought, God is wonderful. I don't want to say the things. I don't feel pain again to say the things somebody done to me. I just want to ignore. But the physical, you cut it, put the medication, you ignore, it's healed. But the emotion doesn't get healed, just ignore it.
Yeah. Right.
So God showed me that. So I said, God, I'm going to do it. So I release to you every single thing. I mention everything.
Yeah.
And I say everything how I felt. I didn't leave inside of me. I say it. The healing started. Almost like each century, since I was a little kid, somebody hurt me.
Yes.
And everything goes away because I released to Jesus Christ. And he's my healer. Physically, he healed many things. But emotionally, I was hiding. I don't, you know, I even didn't want to tell everybody. Also, dangerous is you tell people, maybe company, somebody hurt me or this, that. That person cannot help you, heal your pain. Only Jesus can. So I want to tell you my testimony. I give God glory, and I'm so free because Son set me free, free indeed. I'm free. I tell you, 45 years God set me free. I know a lot of people have a pain here. You know, I tell you, you cannot imagine. When I was 19, I had alcoholic a little bit. Can you imagine? I was alcoholic. He knows. I did not eat. I drank. I had a party. I wasn't safe, okay? So I did all what I can do to feel the pain and emptiness. Didn't work. Friend, I complained to friend. Didn't hear. Anger is increased like a fire. Yeah. If I talk about it, I get angry again. Yeah. More. Like I don't know what to do. But best way now, I don't know how long how old are you? Small to whatever. Everybody, I want you to know Jesus can do it. He died for me.
Yes.
And this is great. Feel free. That thing doesn't bother me. That's the power of the Holy Spirit can do for you. And who I say you have a Holy Spirit in you, he can do same thing like he done for me. What you do is trust him, open up your heart, and give all the whatever you have to Jesus. He can help you, 100% guarantee, if you trust him to do it. Well. So I give God glory, honor. That's my testimony.
This is the Caprice Cashew. I've been trying to get her to preach for a long time. We're going to get her there. How many of y'all enjoyed that testimony?
Yeah.
How many of y'all was blessed and helped by that testimony?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
I tell you, since she's been going through it, since God has emotionally healed her, it's been happier in our home. Glory to God, I tell you. Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 18. Y'all keep praying for Sister Taka. I'm believing God's gonna open her heart to go ahead and preach the word of God.
No.
I'm saying no. That the anointing was there just early. I'm telling you. You know, some of the people that are called the preacher are the ones who so much hesitate. I'm not one of them. No, when the God said you called me to preach, I'm like, when? I remember my pastor. One morning in service, you know, I had been struggling with the call the day before. You know, I felt God was calling me and everything, and I'm struggling. And then the next day, I went to the 8 o'clock service. You know, God does some things in the 8 o'clock services. Y'all need to.
Amen.
When we start having 8 o'clock service, y'all need to be here. Anyway, and right after the service, you know, he's praying for people, and he's just about to close out the service. He looks over at me and says, "Troy, come here." So I come up. He puts his hands on me. He begins to prophesy. Now, he didn't know I was struggling with this. He says, "The Lord, thus saith the Lord, the Lord has told me, yes, you, he has called you." And, you know, went on to talk about how the devil was going to attack me, and he was right about that. And, you know, he prophesied over me and told me that the Lord had called me to the ministry. So I said, "Hey, well, pastor knows I'm called, so that means I'm going to get a preaching opportunity." Wrong. I said, "Pastor, I said, you know I'm called, right?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Now you need to just sit down and learn something, boy." Thank God he said that, because I ain't know nothing. I would have got up in that pulpit and messed everybody up. Praise God with my ignorance. But glory to God. It's just a little illustration that if you're called, you know, first of all, don't rush. But wait. Your time will come. It may come here, it may not come here. That was my spiritual father, and I never did preach at that church. I never did preach there. Now, they tried to get me to come there since. Matter of fact, he's with the Lord now, but his wife has asked me last year to come out to California and preach. I haven't. Y'all don't believe God for the money, so I can get out there. Have you found Matthew 18 yet?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to read a couple of verses. I'm going to try not to hold you too long, because we need to take communion today. Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse, let's start with verse 31. Now you remember the background of this. We done read the scripture so many times. So you remember it was a servant, the king, servant who came to the king, and the king was about to throw him in prison because he owed the king a great debt. Yep. And the king said, and he started crying, "Oh, please, king, please, don't hurt me." And the king had compassion on him and said, all right, I'll let you go. And so then he goes up to somebody, right after that, he goes up to somebody, grabs him by the neck, and says, "Pay me all you owe me." And this guy did the same thing, please, give me time. And he said, no, and he threw him into prison. And so we go over to verse 30. Verse 31, it says, "So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth." That means he was mad. "And delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise," say likewise.
Likewise.
Now, you know, everybody says, well, God is merciful. He's kind. Yes, he is. He's all that in a bag of chips. But you know what? He don't mess around either. If you will not show mercy, you will not show kindness, then God will do the same thing to you that this king did to that servant. It says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Ye from your hearts. That's the part I want to focus on today. You have to forgive not just with lip service. You have to forgive with your heart. But I'm focusing on this not so much just to preach to you or to tell you what you must do. I am now trying to give you some practical instruction on how to do it. How to forgive. See, I don't want you coming to Victoria's Word Christian Center and hearing a lot of theories and not hearing any kind of practical application. Your pastor, me, I have practiced this. I have been with the Lord. Now, some of y'all may have been with the Lord longer than me. I know Pastor Chris has been with the Lord, even though he's younger than me, he's been with the Lord longer than I have. But I have been with the Lord at least almost, I think I was celebrating my 24th birthday, 24th spiritual birthday in July. So I'm only 24 years old.
Amen.
Praise God. In the Lord.
Amen.
That may be a long time to some of you. That may not be a long time to others of you. But in 24 years, I had to have learned something, right?
Read the book.
Yes, read the book. I have a book back there called How to Walk in Love. Mm-hmm. We're going to deal with more on that too in the upcoming weeks, months, whatever have you. But I have learned how to forgive people. I have learned how to do it. It wasn't just enough for me to hear that you must do it. Because when I heard it, I tried.
Yeah.
I made up my mind. I made a quality decision to forgive people. But then how many of y'all know that as soon as you make a quality decision to forgive somebody, somebody else does something to you?
Amen.
And then you got to start the cycle all over again.
Amen.
It's like, good grief. I mean, sometimes I wonder, did I do the right thing even by starting to preach this series? Because, I mean, since I've been preaching this, man, I have been attacked.
Mm-hmm. You tried.
And I have been tried. Oh, I've been tried. Now, some of you have been, too, because you've been hearing this word, and you've been trying to put it to practice, and then all of a sudden, since Pastor's been preaching this, you have been attacked. Some of you have probably woke up and said, "I don't even want to go to church. This don't seem to be working for me." But you came anyway. Glory to God. That shows that you are doing something. Praise God. And God's going to bless your efforts. But see, the thing is, you need to forgive from your heart, because the heart is the center of your being. When Jesus is talking about your heart, he's not not talking about that organ inside that pumps the blood, you know, to all parts of your body. But he is using that as an analogy, because the heart is the center of your physical life, but we're also talking about the heart as a center of your spiritual life. That heart, which basically within it deals with your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now let me give you a little bit of Greek. You know, because I want to sound scholarly, you know. I want to sound like I'm educated. So y'all can say, my pastor's educated. And people are like, who cares? Anyway. The Greek word that Jesus is using is called cardia. And basically it's the heart, or figuratively, the thoughts or feelings, the mind. Another dictionary, the Thayer's Greek definition says that is the center and seat of the spiritual life, the soul or mind, as it is the fountain and seat of the thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, endeavors, and he gives a lot of other stuff that I don't want to repeat. But basically, it is the center of our being. When Jesus is talking about forgiving the person from the heart, he's talking about your emotions, your affections, and your mind, and your thoughts. So what he's trying to tell you is, it's not just enough to give lip service, and then you still at home brooding. I hate them. Oh, what they did to me, I want to kill them. I hate them. I want to burn their house. I want to take a key and scratch their car. Pastor knows. Pastor's been through it. I'm reluctant to give a lot of testimony from my life, but the Lord tells me I got to make my life an open book to y'all. And so, you know, I can give you a lot of stories, but I'm gonna give you this one. Remember some years ago when I was over in Japan. You know, I stayed in Japan for a long time, and I get a call from my mother, and she's telling me some things that had happened. My sister, you know, had a baby through this man. And so the man comes one day, you know, to visit his son, and, you know, he comes late and starts acting crazy at the house, and my mother and my sister get into an argument with him. And so, you know, they're fussing and everything, and they call the cops. So we're waiting for the cops to come. And how many of y'all know in Trenton the cops don't, you know, excuse me, my white brothers and sisters, but when a black person calls the cops,
you may go, they can't see the crowd.
Oh, no. They go through Hamilton Township and Lawrence. Stop by, visit their friends before they get to stop by Dunkin' Donuts. So they're waiting for the cops, and he's still out there making trouble. And so then finally my brother comes on. Now, you know, my brother, he was a Golden Gloves boxer in the Navy. Yeah. You know, but he's not the type of person that just goes out and starts fighting and stuff. And so, you know, my brother said, did y'all call the cops? They said, yeah. And so, you know, he went in the house to watch the baby while they were still outside, you know, fussing with this dude. And so then the dude comes up and slaps my mom.
Oh.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. So of course, you know, now you know that right there. That right, you slapped my mom. That right there can get me on the next plane. But then, my brother's gonna react. He jumps out.
Oh yeah.
Well, he didn't know that this dude had already called his other two brothers. And so they gang up on my brothers, and one of them had a bat. And you know they messed up his eye and everything. He's fine now, though. But it's all the stuff that had happened to him. And then finally the cop come.
Yeah.
And then they don't arrest somebody. Oh, this is a domestic dispute. We can't do anything with it. Please. So I'm hearing all, my mother's telling me all this, my sister's telling me all this. I'm upset. Now, I'm a born-again Christian, but I was upset. The ghetto came out of me. I wanted to go home and kick some boot-tack. You hear me? I wanted to cross the phone lines, cross the transatlantic lines, find the next got a situation. I wanted to test her behind her. So I prayed about it. And the Lord said, forgive that man. I said, well, Lord, he hit my mom. He jumped my brother. How can I forgive him? The Lord said, forgive him. Well, I struggled with that. I'm telling you, I said, okay, I forgive. But then it didn't take long before the memories, my imagination started flowing. And I started seeing, you know, I hadn't seen exactly what happened, but of course my imagination started seeing a man slap my mom. My imagination started seeing three guys jumping on my brother. And then my imagination started doing other things. I started thinking about sneaking home, stripping him down, finding him with a gun, stripping him down naked, and making him dance out in the highway. I'm telling you, this is what the thought, these are the things the devil does to you. He puts thoughts in your mind. See, I had forgiven this man with lip service. I had not forgiven him from my heart. Finally, a couple months later, me and my family, we did go home to visit for Christmas time. And so the man, you know, he had visiting rights, so he comes to pick up his son. And so they let me know, oh, he's outside. So I had on my sweats, I put my gloves on, and I started walking outside. I mean, you know, I'm looking like Rocky now. I'm like, I'm ready. You know, and I'm struggling at the same time. I'm struggling with this. I'm walking outside, and he sees me, and he's like, he starts getting scared, huh, Truett? I mean, he's backing up. And I'm just looking at him. Huh, Truett? How you doing, Truett? And I'm just standing like this. I'm just seething with rage. And but you know, God is so good. He spoke to me. He said, son, it's not worth it. I said, Lord, you tell me it's not worth it? He said, son, it's not worth it. So I turned around, went back into the house. And like my wife, you know, I had to go through the emotions, you know, of healing and everything. And, you know, I was so angry with what had happened. You know, hit my mom of all things. Man, that's unforgivable. But you got to forgive. Because many things, God, I've done worse to God. But, you know, I can tell you, God healed me emotionally. And, just last year, you know, my sister had died. She died in an accident. He was at the funeral. You know what he came up to me. You know what I did?
Hallelujah.
Hugged him.
Hallelujah.
I said, man, how you doing? And, you know, he's just looking. We hugged each other tight. We started talking and everything. And, you know, he says, oh, let me introduce you to my mom. He brings his mom over and we talk and everything. And I knew then. I had, you know, I didn't feel no anger towards him. I nothing but love came out of me for that man. You know, and God will do that to you. But it first starts with dealing with the thoughts. That where my problem was at was when the thoughts started coming to me, when the devil started bringing the pictures of him slapping my mother, the pictures of him and his brothers jumping. By the way, his two brothers, they didn't know what was going on. They apologized to my brother later. Said, man, we're sorry. We wish we hadn't done that.
Yes.
And my brother, who ain't even saved, said, I forgive you.
That's God.
Never went after him. Him and we got plenty of friends that would have been happy to go after him if he, my brother, wanted to. They didn't. But I was able to deal with that only because I learned to deal with my thoughts. When the devil started bringing imaginations of my mom being slapped and my brother being jumped and started making me think about subtle ways of getting vengeance for this whole ordeal, I began to deal with these. But see, you got the thing is, the Bible teaches that you have to guard your heart.
Amen.
Turn with me to Proverbs 4:23. We're going to look at two scriptures, and we're going to continue with this next week, because I know we've far spent on time, but I didn't want to leave you today without some word.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep this in. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Then we'll look at Proverbs 4:23. Mark chapter 2. But I want to show you how you're dealing with your heart. See, the heart is the area of your reasoning. The reasoning faculties are within your heart, and you're dealing with yourself. But see, you can do it. You don't have to accept every thought that comes to you. You can control your thoughts. You got the choice. You can either control your thoughts or you can let Satan control your thoughts. If he gets a hold of your thoughts, he gets a hold of you, and he controls you that way. The reason why many of you don't know how to forgive is because you think that every time the thought of that person comes back to you that you have not truly forgiven that person. What you've got to learn to do is control the thoughts of unforgiveness that come to you. When you're able to do that, then you will be open to the Holy Spirit to do what he did for my wife, which is to heal you. Mark chapter 2, look at verses 6. It says, "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts." See, people, you know where all your reasoning faculties are at? They're within your heart. See, you know, the scribes were sitting there and saying, you know, trying to find justification for destroying Jesus. They were trying to find justification for not seeing him as the Son of God, as their Messiah. They began reasoning in their heart, trying to plot how to destroy the Savior. It says, verse 7, "Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they had so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your heart?" See, I just wanted to show you that because I want to show you where the reasoning faculties are at, where your fight is at, where the battle is at. The battle is in your heart, it's with your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions. You are either being controlled by your emotions, or you are controlling your emotions. You can do one or the other. Don't tell me you can't. Now, I know, and now, ladies, you have my sympathy because I could. Really, you do. Because men, most of the time, yeah, men, we struggle with emotions just like y'all do, but we don't struggle probably as much. Mm-hmm. You know, God built y'all in a certain way to where y'all are emotional. He built y'all that way, and it's a good thing because God is emotional. You are a part of God. You are emotional creatures. You know, women are wonderful. I love women. I love especially that. But women are wonderful creatures. Y'all, man, y'all take care of us. Where we're weak at, where men are weak at, you're strong. Where we're strong at, you guys are weak. You know, man, I can't stand going shopping with my wife, okay? I can't stand it. But she knows what she's doing. See, me, if I go grocery shopping, I'll buy me a few frozen goods and that's it. You know? I'll probably get all the not good for you stuff too. My wife, she knows what she plans things out, she knows what she's gonna cook, she gets the right groceries, this is the woman who dresses me. If it was me, I just don't want anything. She takes it. See, you women, you know what you're doing. Thank God for a mother. My mother practically raised me. You know, my father, he was around. You know, they were divorced, but he wasn't like a neglectful father who never came or anything. But my mother was the primary parent in my life. She had to play mom and dad. You know how embarrassing it is for mom to be teaching you the birds and the bees? Mom did it. She made me scared to do a lot of stuff. Praise God. But anyway, but the thing is that women, sometimes your emotions are your strength. We need you to continue to be emotional like you are. But you've got to control your emotions. And that's the difficulty with women, because of the way you're built, because you are more emotional than males, you struggle with forgiveness more.
Amen.
Say it, Pastor.
You struggle with forgiveness more. And I understand it. Some of the things, it took my wife years to deal with what she's dealing with. Some things she took, it takes her years to do. I can do it within a couple of days.
Yes, that's true.
Sometimes I can do it within a couple of hours. But for her, it takes a long time. Sometimes she has to talk it out. And brother, I don't even be wanting to hear it sometimes, but the Lord tells me, you listen to her. And then, you know what I'm saying? A kid. But that's the way God built her. So those of you, one of these days we're going to have a marriage seminar. We'll talk about these things. We'll talk about more intimate things when children are around. All right, but if, especially for the singles. We're going to be dealing with stuff for the singles, y'all.
Amen.
These are things that are coming up. But anyway, you have to learn to reason within yourselves, but reason the right way. When you reason with yourself, you've got to know the Word of God.
Amen.
You've got to, when Satan starts bringing those thoughts into your mind, you've got to fight it. You've got to say, no, I don't receive that. I have forgiven so-and-so. The Bible, then start giving the Bible to Satan. The Bible says that if I don't forgive, then God will not forgive me. And Satan, I refuse to go to hell just because somebody did such and such to me. It ain't worth it. I refuse not to have my prayers answered. I refuse to have devils and demons tormenting me just because somebody did something. I tell you, I could even get into this week. This week alone, some things happened that really, had my wallet stolen this week. You know how difficult that was? I had to struggle for hours dealing with the thoughts. Trying to find the person. I mean, you know, because I got an idea who did it. Yeah. I could go look for the person and deal with them.
Uh-huh.
I had to struggle with thoughts about not doing that.
Yes.
So I know. Your pastor knows. I tell you. But see, I reasoned within my heart. I said, no, I will not be I will not hold any ought against that person. I will not hold any ought against them. And God answered prayer anyway. But I won't get into all that right now. Let's look at a couple. You know, well, I'll say this real quick. Even though the money was stolen, and it was Operation Eye Care money, it wasn't my money. It was Operation Eye Care money that was stolen out of my wallet. We prayed. My wife and I prayed. And God, and some of you who had heard about it, I told Pastor Chris Stick about it, and others had told about it, and I know y'all was praying. I know that the Wednesday night prayer group was praying. The next day, I was called and they told me that wallet was there. All my credit cards and stuff were there. My keys and stuff were there. The only thing that was stolen was the money in my bus pass. God is good, ain't he? But you know what? I had to make up my mind to forgive the person first. I had to make up my mind that night. Even though I was in pain, even though I was angry, I had to make up my mind, I forgive them. Whoever it was, I forgive them. Praise God. Let's look at one more passage of scripture. Proverbs chapter 4. We'll deal with this one a little bit, then we're going to close out because we need to take communion. Proverbs, here is what you call practical wisdom, practical advice. The Bible is a practical book. It's not a book of theories and formulas. It's a book of practicality. It tells you exactly how to get God's blessings in your life, how to get God's intervention in your life, how to bring both physical as well as emotional healing to you. God loves you. He doesn't want you struggling with the things that you're struggling with. He knows that you're going to be in this world. You're a warrior. All of you are warriors for Christ. And in a warfare, you're going to get hit. Sometimes it's going to be casualties. But you're going to get wounded in warfare.
Amen.
But he had you here, so he wants you to learn how to fight.
Amen.
And here, victorious, that's why we call ourselves victorious word.
Yes.
We don't call ourselves defeated word. Because God's word is a victorious word. Amen.
Amen.
God's word will lead you into victory. God's word will lead you to be victorious in this life. Proverbs chapter 4. You found it yet?
Yes.
All right. Let's begin at verse 20. It says, my son, attend to my word. Do you know what attend means?
Pay attention.
Pay attention. Make that the first thing, your first priority. attend to my words. If I tell you to attend to something, that doesn't mean you go and do something else. I'm telling, for example, if I tell you to attend to the stereo equipment, you don't go running and messing with the flyers with that. You, this is your first thing. You attend to that
first.
So that's when first, when God says, attend, my son, and that he's including daughters there too. Don't worry. You know, right now, y'all, you women are sons. One day, us men are going to be bride of Christ. So, don't feel bad, all right? But he's talking about women there, too. So, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. That means keep God's word before you all the time. Meditate on it. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. You've got to plant the word of God in your heart. And let's go on. Why? He gives you the reason. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. That flesh is talking about your body, your physical body. God's word is a healing word. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The centurion came to Jesus and said, just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. That's talking about physical healing. But verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word keep, another word for that is, you know, in the King James lingo, it actually means to guard your heart. Keep watch over your heart. Keep a guard over it. You have to guard your heart. The reason why you have to guard your heart is because you're going to be, your heart is going to be constantly assaulted with thought. See, when somebody says something nasty to you, what does it do? It brings a word picture. It brings a, words create thoughts. See, that's why you got to watch what you say to your children. You can't say, you stupid idiot.
Yes.
You'll never amount to be anything. Your daddy was no good, you ain't no good either. And then you say stuff like that and you wonder why they ain't no good. You spoke the word. Your words have power. I try to tell my girls and my son who's going to be on punishment that they can amount to be anything. They can do whatever they want. You can be anything. Every once in a while, I let them know how lazy they are. But I tell them, you can do anything. But see, words create thoughts and pictures. Somebody says it, somebody insults to you and says, you ugly, nasty thing. That hurts. See, somebody sits up there and says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. That is not true. Words hurt, man. They hurt. They create pictures. That formulate in your mind. And somebody says the wrong thing to you, and you want to respond. Well, you gotta guard your heart. Because the heart is where the thought life begins, and that's where the turmoil between whether I'm gonna forgive or not forgive begins. That's where the battle is at. Forgiving or not forgiving. Fighting against, you know, the thoughts that are coming in. That's why Jesus said you have to forgive from your heart.
Yep.
It's not enough for me to say, Tracy, I forgive you. No. And then I go home and say, what, this can't stand, Tracy. Don't hurt. I'm going to go there and slap her next Sunday when she comes to church. She better not come to church. You know what I'm doing. I'm just going to sit in the front row, Tracy. Next I'll pick on Jerry. See, I sung Jerry's song today, so I'm not going to pick on him today. We'll get him next week. Right. Watch Jerry sit in the back row next week. Right. But praise God. But that's what you've got to guard your heart. You got to put a guard over your heart. And the only way you can do that is by filling it with the Word of God.
Amen.
The reason why many of us are not able to deal with forgiveness because we don't put the Word of God in our heart. You got to meditate on this Word. You got to get it in you. You got, and when the devil comes to you, you got to be able to tell him the Word. You know, it's not, when the devil comes to you with thoughts of unforgiveness, it's not time to go get your concordance out and go looking up, well, okay, let me look at all the scriptures on forgiveness. No, get those thought those scriptures on forgiveness in your heart right now.
Yep.
Get those scriptures on walking in love in your heart right now. Meditate on them tonight.
Yes.
And meditate, you know, if you're taking notes, you can go over the notes we've been teaching on. But get those things in your heart. So that when the thoughts come to you and start attacking you, reminding you what so-and-so did to you, you respond back, yes, so-and-so did do that to me. Yes, it did hurt, but I forgive them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And when you do that, the Holy Spirit, just like my wife was talking about, will open it, he will heal you. Now, you, of course, like she said, you got to give it to God. You got to tell God exactly what it is. Confess it to him. Be honest with him about it, because he knows us anyway.
Yeah.
But he's waiting for you to say something.
Say something. Amen.
So, when you do that, then when Satan comes, you have the power and the authority to tell him, yeah, they did that to me, but I'm free.
Amen.
Like my wife said, whom the Son of God has set free is free indeed.
Amen.
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 Amen. Glory to God. Oh, I wish I could. Boy, we got 3 pages of notes here just on this alone. And that's not even all that God has given us on this subject. Now, I'm going to say this, and then we're going to close the sermon and have our communion. But I'm going to say this real quickly. Don't think that your pastor don't have nothing else to preach on. I got quite a bit. I have so many subjects I need that I want to teach y'all about, and others, and you know, and we still have to want to give others opportunity because we got some good preachers here. You know, but this is needed right now. This is so needed. I talked to some of y'all, and I know you need to keep hearing this, and repetition is a good part of teaching. So, if pastor's got to stay with us for a couple of months, that's
Amen.
What I'm going to do.
Praise God.
Amen. I apologize to y'all ahead of time, but you got to forgive me. You're obligated. But we're going to teach this until Victoria's Word is actually walking in victory in this particular area. Because forgiveness is the key to victory in every area. Amen. My sister?
Pastor, could you just mention real quick the relationship between unforgiveness and communion?
That's a good thank you. Before we begin our communion, I want you, those of you, if you have any struggle with unforgiveness in your heart, I'm going to ask you not to take communion today. This is not, not because we want to embarrass you. It's not because I don't want to embarrass you at all. It's because I love you and I care about your soul. I care about your soul. I care about your health. It's better let me tell you, none of us have reached that area of perfection yet. We're all striving for it. There's been times I have to, even as an elder in the church, I have abstained from communion. It was embarrassing, but I did it because I cared more about what my Lord thought than about, you know, trying to look good in front of the congregation. I know some of them wondering, well, how come the elder Troy is taking communion? It ain't none of your business. None of your big eye business. So don't you worry, if you have to abstain from it today because you're still struggling with something, it's okay, all right?
Amen.
Don't feel embarrassed. Pastor loves you. Pastor Christic loves you. Don't you, Pastor Christic?
No, man.
We love you.
Yes.
But see, you cannot take communion and harbor unforgiveness or any other unconfessed sin in your heart.
Amen.
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 Amen. Now, I'm going to ask the pastor, Christy, to come. And we're going to ask for a couple of strong men.